right, welcome back. Second hour of Who's Talking. This is indeed Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, Michael Tusky. We are going to be joined by Chris Horn momentarily, the Saber recruiting guru. But in the meantime, we've got John in Richmond on the phone. John, are you with us? Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yes, sir. Just had one quick question. The offense looks like it's progressing nicely, but the defense looks like it's lagging behind a little bit. Doesn't look much better than it did last year. The secondary is still strong, but still can't seem to stop the run. Is that Jim Reed's fault, or whose fault is that? Doesn't look like Coach Reed, as much as I respect him, is getting the job done. And if you could, when Mr. Horn comes on, could you ask him about why is it so hard for us to, for Tony Bennett to recruit a point guard? Now, hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right, John. That was a loaded question there, sports fans. First off, recruiting strong defensive line personnel, good, aggressive, powerful linebackers that can handle the surge of these 300-pound offensive linemen that are out there today is not an easy task. The conversion from the 3-4 to the 4-3, I think we're seeing some of that. I thought overall the run defense in these last couple of games has shown some improvement, particularly right at the point of attack, and there are some plays where Virginia has done an admirable job of getting some penetration. Against Carolina, I felt like we were a little bit off guard after about the first two series, and it all started when Carolina ran a screen pass to the right side and got about 25 yards. It seemed to throw off our equilibrium, and I'm not sure why that happened. Coach Reed talked about the 60 plays that, you know, the big plays that the defense gave up last year. I think they've learned to sort of limit some of those plays, and instead of a play going for 40 or 50 yards, it's only going for 20 or 25 or maybe even 30 yards. There were two glaring runs right up the middle of the field, and I think Virginia's defense was tricked badly by the pulling guards, and then the running back cut back behind the guards, and the middle linebacker had vacated the space.
Well, one of the strengths of the North Carolina team, though, is the offensive line, right?
I think, no doubt. But in this case, the defense was influenced by the flow of the offensive line, gave a what I call a false pull, and so the running back, you know, is Giovanni Bernard, I believe. He made a sudden cut, and there was no one there, and, you know, that's where your defensive tackles and your middle linebacker have got to stay home. And unfortunately,
well, you still may have had a missed assignment or two. I'll take a conflict of interest on that. I'm too much of a Jim Reed fan to be critical of Jim Reed because he's been a personal friend for a long time. I think we may have Chris Horn on the line. Chris, thank you for joining us tonight. We just had John from Richmond call talking about the Virginia defense, but he also asked the question of Coach Bennett recruiting point guards for the basketball team. So maybe before we get into the football recruiting, you can address John's question about the recruitment of point guards for the basketball team.
Well, that sounds great. Thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it. And, yeah, that's obviously a good question and a pretty relevant question with Tevin Jones. He was a 2011 class player, but he's since reclassified to 2012. He's in a postgraduate year, actually, at Fishburne Military Academy. Made a verbal commitment to Coach Bennett and company, and will sign a letter of intent in November. And committed last week, actually received his offer. A scholarship offer from Coach Bennett, accepted it immediately, and he's the fourth member of Virginia's 2012 class of Virginia. In its long, anxious search for a point guard, they have a prospect who certainly looks like he has some potential, certainly has some growing to do, and was certainly a guy under the radar type of prospect. Obviously, Coach Bennett, being a former point guard, certainly, I'm sure, knows what he's looking for in a point guard, and decided to offer him a scholarship, and he took it.
I'll let Frank jump in here on football for a minute. John, what he may have been referencing, obviously, Coach Bennett, they were looking at a couple other kids and
right.
didn't get them, so maybe that's what he's referencing. The only thing I would say, You go back, Othell Wilson, Donald Hand,
Bobby Stokes,
Harold Dean, Bobby
Jeff Jones,
Bobby Stokes, of course, that Jim recruited. So that was a sleeper. That
Thank goodness
Jim
you found one recruit.
But at any rate, we've had a history of having some guys come in and really perform who were not necessarily the top kids out there.
Right. Yeah, I think that's certainly a good point. And really, any coaching staff has to be able to evaluate the talent that they feel is going to fit their system and that they can develop. And that's certainly a big part of recruiting, is not just going out and then landing those four- or five-star prospects, which certainly is part of it as well. Virginia was in the running, but frankly, the 2012 class, point guard class for 2012 was pretty thin in terms of those top guys. Virginia was most seriously in the mix for James Robinson, who's a point guard out of DeMatha Catholic, ended up committing to Pittsburgh, verbally committing to Pittsburgh over Virginia, and a few other schools as well. Virginia missed out on a few other players early on. Marcus Page, who was a player that Virginia targeted very early on, one of the top point guard prospects in the country, committed to North Carolina. But Tevin's an interesting prospect. He's out of Kannapolis, North Carolina, A.L. Brown High School, averaged 22 points as a senior. A good scorer. I had a chance to talk to his high school coach actually earlier today, and he said he's always been able to shoot the ball. So certainly that's something that that Virginia looked for in terms of being able to stroke the outside shot, that anybody looks for, really. But he's also he graduated with a 3.6 GPA. He's a hard worker in the classroom, in the weight room, kind of just works to get it done. He's had a passion to be a major Division I recruit, actually had some opportunities for football. He's a very, very good football player at 6 foot, 180 pounds, a good wide receiver out of high school, but really wanted to be a major Division I basketball player, and that's why he's at Fishburne Military Academy. So a guy who's willing to put in the hard work and kind of fits that character mold that that certainly Coach Bennett seems to be looking for with his recruits.
All right, we're going to come back to basketball in a minute because there are some there's a lot of news overall just with basketball. Football, though, got some very good news this week with the announcement that Kanane Severin, the wide receiver, four-star prospect, committed to UVA. Tell us about that signing or that verbal commitment.
Maybe a slight surprise. His finalists were Boston College, Penn State, and Virginia were the finalists for Kanane Severin, who – for those who don't follow recruiting too closely, he's a 6'3", 205-pound wide receiver prospect out of Massachusetts, Worcester Academy up there in Massachusetts. A physical receiver, a very good overall athlete, had double-digit scholarship offers to consider. As I mentioned, narrowed the list down to Boston College and Penn State. He took an official visit to Boston College the first weekend in September. Then he attended the Penn State home game against Alabama, and that was the last visit that he made before deciding that he was ready to commit. So there was some thought that Penn State was going to be the school since they were the last trip, but Virginia won out, and it was really came down. Education is big with Kanan and his father, and of course Boston College and Penn State are great schools as well. But in terms of Mike Lund and the way he emphasized it when Kanan took a trip down to Charlottesville in August was certainly a big determining factor there. I think there's an opportunity certainly with some seniors leaving after this year for Kanan to come in and to perhaps earn some early playing time, which is I know appealing to him. And just really the relationship with the coaches, Jim Reed was the lead recruiter for him, and Kanan told me that they just really connected from the first time that they spoke, and he developed a real strong relationship with Coach Reed, Coach Sean Moore, and, of course, Coach London.
Well, that's
it's
because
a big pickup for the Hoos.
You have to be from Massachusetts to understand Coach Reed.
Because everything's hard. We're going to hit them hard. We're going to run hard. We're going to play hard. Speaking of all that, Chris, and we're speaking with Chris Horn of the Saber, the recruiting expert. Chris, Virginia's got verbal commitments from Jamail Brown, Anthony Cooper, Mario Nixon, and now, as you pronounce it, Kanan Severin. Four wide receivers, different sizes, different speeds, mm-hmm. Ranging from 6 feet all the way to 6'5". And it's obvious that with the emphasis this year on recruiting, both in terms of bringing in two more quarterbacks a slew of defensive linemen and a bunch of athletes that can play almost anywhere and some great offensive linemen, you know, they're significantly shoring up all the critical areas of the team, aren't they?
Right, and that's exactly right. Of course, you know, with Coach London coming in, wanting to address those needs, defensive line, as you mentioned, has been a big focus. Offensive line as well, with four prospects in last year's class, four more in this year's class, and potentially may not be finished in terms of offensive linemen. I know there's a few targets, Kyle Fuller out of Texas, who's considering Virginia and Iowa and several other schools, is still on the target board as well.
Where is Wiley, Texas?
Right, exactly. And another good 6'5", 265-pound offensive lineman. But Virginia's certainly addressing those needs. Receiver, certainly with you know, Chris Byrd and Matt Snyder, some of those guys not returning next year. And there's going to be, as I mentioned earlier, there's going to be an opportunity for some of these guys to come in and get some early playing time. And you mentioned those four guys. I think certainly Kanan is a guy who can really come in. And if I had to put odds on it, I think he's a guy who could come in and play. We'll see take the field next year. But there's more guys in the class. You mentioned a lot of good athletes. Maurice Kennedy out of Verina actually plays wide receiver as well. He could be a wide receiver or cornerback. And there's a few other guys kind of fitting that mold who could potentially be receivers as well. So a lot of skill guys who could potentially play one position or another, but certainly trying to upgrade that athletic ability and within the overall team.
You mentioned this offensive lineman from Texas. Who are some of the other targets that are left, and how many more slots do you think Coach London will fill?
Well, there are 24 commitments right now, and from what I understand, they can go for a few more spots. Certainly, there aren't that many guys left out there, and I'd be surprised if Virginia went for any particular reaches or anything like that. But I guess I mentioned Fuller. Obviously, I believe he is going to visit Virginia at some point this fall. I spoke last night with Nathan Staub, who's a fullback prospect out of Georgia. He's a teammate of C.J. Moore, who's a cornerback commitment for Virginia in this class, and he has scheduled an official visit to Virginia for the weekend of the Georgia Tech game. So he's a guy that Virginia has targeted as a fullback. He also plays linebacker, so there could be some flexibility there, but at this point he's being targeted as a fullback. He's also considering Cal, UNC, and Harvard, so certainly academics are pretty big with him. But a very solid prospect in Buford, which is a school that those guys attend, is 5-0 this year, beating teams by an average of 42 points, and defending state champs, and certainly a storied program down there. A few other guys that I have updates on this week: Cyrus Jones, who's a top athlete out of Baltimore, Maryland. Virginia's made his final seven. At this point, Alabama and Auburn have been long rumored to be the favorites at this point for him, and I think and he's got official visits scheduled to those schools for later this fall. So I think they're schools to watch. Virginia Tech impressed him this past weekend. So Virginia's got some work to do in terms of perhaps maybe getting him to take another look and take another visit. And Ken Ekanum out of Centerville High School is another defensive end, kind of hoping to add to that already talented defensive line haul. He's got Virginia in his final nine, and at this point, though, he kind of fluctuates in terms of whenever I speak with him. Sometimes he'll like Virginia a lot, sometimes maybe not as much as some other schools. So we'll see what happens with him, but certainly a talented prospect out of the Northern Virginia area.
All right, we're going to, if it's okay, Chris, we'd like to carry you over the break to the next segment. Mm-hmm. Can you hold on? We just do this quick commercial break?
Yes.
All right.
All right, we'll be back after this these messages with Chris Horn, Saber recruiting guru. If you want to call in and ask Chris a question when we get back, 345-0910. We'd be happy to hear from you. Back after these messages. All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, Michael Tuskey. You're going to hear from him yet, so Cavalier Nancy, just hang in there. You know, we're going to the last half hour is going to be the Tuskey half hour. But we have still with us Chris Horn, the Saber recruiting guy. And Frank, Chris has a couple more questions for you here.
All right, Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, thanks for hanging in there with us. Two players I think most of our listeners are interested in. Corin Kervin from Lynchburg, defensive tackle, 6'4", 270. And you were alluding to Ken Ekanem from Clifton, Virginia, a defensive end. Mm-hmm. Give us the inside skinny on these two players, and wouldn't Virginia like to have them? Because I think the Sporting News has them ranked, both of them, in the top 150 in the nation?
We'll start with Corin, who's at a defensive tackle at a Brookville High School, and certainly defensive tackle is a position where I think Virginia could add another recruit, and he's certainly one of the top ones, as you mentioned. He's a nationally rated guy. At this point, the school that he attends also produced Logan Thomas and Zach McCray, who are both now at Virginia Tech. So I think that certainly helps Virginia Tech's cause a little bit. If he stays in state, I'd have to pick Virginia Tech as the school that that he would probably choose. Although, at this point, that's a little bit of a question if he's going to stay in the state or not. And kind of the same for Ken, who's a really intriguing prospect. Started out as a linebacker, and his high school career has since developed over the course of his career into a defensive end, putting his hand on the ground. He's a very solid 6'3", 240 pounds. Spoke to him last night. He mentioned he's trying to get his list down from 9 schools to 5. Notre Dame, Oregon, and Virginia Tech were the schools that he felt pretty good about making that top 5. And Virginia is one of several others kind of still vying for those last 2 spots. And then, but he's certainly another guy. But with Virginia is recruiting him as a defensive end, and Virginia's done very well with last year's class. Of course, Thompson Brown being able to play as a true freshman, looking good already. And this year, bringing in Eli Harold, Michael Moore, Courtney Wynn, some of those guys. And we've talked before that Michael Moore is a guy, you look at him, and he could easily develop into a defensive tackle as well. So,
he's already 275 pounds, isn't he?
I don't think he's that big at this point, but
he keeps growing
a little bit. But he's certainly a guy that wouldn't surprise me, though. He's a guy that, as I mentioned, you look at him and he's a guy that's versatile enough, I think, physique wise, to either stay down where he is to be about 245 or 250 defensive end, or he could grow into a defensive tackle. I think he's versatile enough to play either position.
And you've also got to mention Quante Moore. Mm-hmm. The linebacker from Norfolk, 6'1", 242, he's going to make a difference, particularly in the middle of the field, if they give him that chance.
Right, and I think and he's really grown over the course of this offseason through combines and getting out there and playing a lot of middle linebacker, grown in terms of his pass coverage ability, and which I think is big because I think, especially at that position, you have Steve Greer, of course, and then you have Henry Coley, but certainly need – Quante, I think it's pretty reasonable to expect that he's going to be able to earn some playing time next year with not too much depth there. So I think, he's a guy certainly to watch out, a 4-star prospect nationally as well, and another big key in Virginia's defense as they continue to rebuild.
All right, my last question. I know Jim's got one more after that. Mm-hmm. Virginia is taking 2 quarterbacks in this class. Matt Johns from Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and Grayson Lambert from Georgia, both tall, both are playing in offense where they get to throw the ball a lot. Shouldn't the players that are at Virginia now play in the quarterback position, shouldn't they be a little worried that Virginia has bringing in 2 more quarterbacks?
Well, it's certainly going to present an interesting situation. I think if you look ahead to 2013 recruiting, Virginia's offered 3 quarterbacks in the state. Bucky Hodges out of Salem in Virginia Beach, Ryan Burns out of Stonebridge, and also Christian Hackenberg out of Fork Union Prep. So certainly there is a logjam. Of course, you have Michael Rocco and David Watford. And of course, we'll see. Currently it's also Ross Matheny and Michael Strauss. So there's certainly a logjam. But frankly, the guys that are currently on the roster, if they play well, there's certainly very much an opportunity for them to seize control of the position, and it would give the Virginia staff the flexibility to redshirt these guys, or if there's still some questions, give them a serious look. And I know with Grayson Lambert, the prospect out of Georgia, he's planning on enrolling early, just as David Watford did last year. So he'll be there in spring practice to absorb that in. So certainly, there is maybe cause for looking behind the shoulder. But at this point, they certainly have an opportunity to take control.
Chris, we have a little less than a minute left, mm-hmm. before we have to go to break. So if you were to give a grade to the current class as it stands right now, how would you evaluate it from a grade standpoint?
I would give it a B plus, and I would say Virginia's continuing to add a lot of talent to the team, which is obviously big. Four of the prospects are rated 4 stars nationally, but also continuing to have a lot of success in the state of Virginia, which I think certainly was a goal of Coach London's coming in, and I think Virginia's really establishing a good footprint in the state of Virginia, getting state of Virginia kids to help build a team going forward.
12 Virginians on the commitment list at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So 50%, and he's still in the fight for others. The question then becomes, with 85 scholarship restriction, how is he going to manage all this? It's starting to get tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm glad we don't have to do that, that's for sure. But, yeah, I think numbers are always fluid, and certainly the coaching staff, I'm sure, knows what's going on. But, yeah, it's originally this class was supposed to be about, from what I heard, about 18 to 20, but that's obviously grown, and it could grow a little bit more. So, but certainly the coaches will have to deal with that.
That's why they get paid the big bucks.
That's right, exactly.
They'll figure that out, and they'll shift people here and there. The key is putting the best people on the field. At any rate, we have been visiting with Chris Horn again. Chris, we will have you back, I'm sure, before too long to update things, and we didn't really get a chance to get too much into basketball tonight, so we need to do that one of these days. But at any rate, thanks for joining us again tonight.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Chris Horn of the Saver was with us. We'll go to break when we come back. I think we got to break down the ACC, talk about the upcoming game, and have the Michael Tuskey Olympic Sports Update.